WEEI Afternoons in our Brighton studio. Ted Johnson joining the fun. What's up, Ted?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We had a long day yesterday. We were down at Foxborough, then we were at Fenway. Did you recover last night? Did you get off your feet, hydrate, do those things?
I did. I did all those things, man. I was there. I was a little late for our meeting this morning, but I got there.
It's okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. No, I'm doing good, yeah. Buddy. Thank you for the concern.
By the way, getting to that meeting today, we had a wonderful time over at Dana-Farber in anticipation of the Jimmy Fontelethon here, the 18th and the 19th. I got to tell you, whenever your device of choice and your mapping system, Waze, Google Maps, whatever, tells you, like, oh, don't worry about it, it's going to be a 25-minute ride, and you start planning on that, don't believe it.
Oh, yeah, no. Recalculating.
No. No, for
changing.
25
traffic
turned
is
into
building ahead.
Exactly. 25 turned into 45, and I did not have dump truck breaking down on Storrow Drive on my Boston traffic bingo.
Yep.
That said, yesterday was a day and a half.
It was a little bit.
We had, like you said, boots on the ground, full joint practice, and a rewarding one at that, followed by 4 hours at Fenway with a great talk with the manager. Big day. And then tomorrow, Dean College stage, Patriot Place, afternoon show, come by, see your boys, 2 to 6, Brady statue, come on now. We're getting it.
What a week. What a week and what an hour. It's 3 o'clock, Dan Ball's time for the three-point stance.
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you have to try to commute in Boston in the morning, God bless you, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson. Andy, Alita off, you get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
It's no secret I love the sport of football, chose it as a career, have been watching it, talking it, writing it, doing TV about it for quarter of a century, and it just kind of snuck up on me from yesterday that football's here, baby. We were down at joint practices. The Washington Commanders were on the field. Mike Vrabel scrapping, getting bloodied. I'm seeing Jaden Daniels and Drake May shoot it out. Tonight, we have three preseason games. Colts, Ravens, Bengals, Eagles, Raiders, Seahawks, Patriots tomorrow. College football camps are underway. We're hearing about news of Shador's going to start. We got news everywhere. Pete Carroll's doing this. He's pinning guys. I love this time of year. College football right around the corner. High school football will be reporting soon. It snuck up on me. I don't know how we got here. I love the summer, and I can't believe it's over, because when football season starts, summer is over. But the other reality is, moving forward, we have football to watch and talk about and enjoy every flipping week through February. And as my former high school coach used to say, great day for football, men. It's always a great day for. He used to say that, and it would be sleeting, snowing, raining, whatever it was, 130 degrees. He'd run out that door from the locker room and say, great day for football, men. And that's how I feel about it. And ladies, if you're listening out there and love football, I'll include you in the old school saying.
Great day for football, you people.
Yeah, great day for football, you people.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that feels this? Like, oh my God, football's here. Like football.
No, I'm excited about football. I'm currently at the in-between, because I still have a little bit of the melancholy that comes with, oh, the kids are home all summer. This is great. Ah, S-word. They're going back to school soon. That means they're not. Things aren't as fun. Oh, but football is here. Oh, but the weather is going to change. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's mid to late August becomes a real roller coaster, because summer's over. But football. Where are the kids?
But in a ways, it's the best time of year. Like for me, because everything comes together. Your kids are still home. I got some football to talk about. And then you get into September, and maybe your kids go to school, so maybe you have a little extra free time on your hands.
Time, yeah.
But the weather's still nice, so you can still go outside and do things. But there's still football on Sundays. It all comes together. You got, like, Labor Day cookouts and all of that. It's kind of the best time of the year right now. Football season, fall season, coming up on back to school season.
Had my first Oktoberfest beer last night.
That's a little early. August.
I admit to the fault.
Halloween candy out already? Or was somebody going to
tell me
that?
Halloween candy out? It's been out for 6 weeks.
Oh, that's the part I don't like. But at least it's football season.
I'm still firmly in the summer ale family myself.
No, I cheated. I walked by. There was a packed beer fridge with like 10 different local Oktoberfests. And the only reason why I bought one was because I thought, well, it's going to be fresh.
Right.
So it's going to taste good.
Oh, yeah, very true.
But I feel like I cheated on summer. I apologize.
No, that's okay. Okay.
Also,
get a little taste of it. Makes you value the rest of summer more, maybe.
What a nice perspective, Dan Ball. Thank you.
I'd try. Go ahead, Andy.
Need to check in on Stiz.
Rain on it.
Stiz, because we have a question that you've been putting off that we need to answer soon. And we're going to get a little bit more information. We got a couple weeks more to deal with this. But who is going to win more football games this year? Mike Vrabel's Patriots or Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels? And I don't know how many weeks you need to build up to have a confident answer on that, because I think you're starting to waver a little bit on both teams, if we're being honest. I think you're wavering on both teams. But we're not doing it today. But remember, that question has to be answered before either team kicks off a real game. Who's winning more football games this year, the Tar Heels or the Patriots?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
By that, we're going to find where his loyalties lie.
Absolutely.
Boston, Chelsea, New Englanders, listeners, we're going to find where Stiz's loyalties lie. And I'm a little bit worried about where that is. That's all I'm going to
say. Bill Belichick has done it again.
Maybe a quick teaser, quick little palate cleanser for that one. Okay, football season is here. Andy with the bold take to begin us here on the 3-point stance.
You people are never happy.
I'm just kidding.
When I say the O-line's more atrocious than it was a year ago, you're like, idiot.
I agree.
Doesn't speak for us. He's not part of this show. And then when I say, woohoo, it's football season, bold take, Andy. Why don't you maybe say something less cool?
Okay, A, I was kidding, and
I'm sensitive today.
B, if you watched the clip where you went viral, I was the first one to talk in that because I was agreeing with you. Maybe it was more out of fear than anything else, but we'll leave that one there. Fitzy, are you ready for your 3-point stance?
That was a whole lot going on right there.
Yeah. Are you ready to take over?
Yeah, why not?
All right, here's 60 seconds for you. Go ahead.
All right, don't worry, everybody. I'm not going to make it a cheerleader section for the Braintree Little League team that is taking on Bedford, New Hampshire tonight for the right to represent New England at the Little League World Series in Williamsport, but go Womps. Let's do it, boys. I'm actually going to talk about a little conversation I had before today's show. I had the pleasure of being a guest on Mark Schlereth's podcast, The Stinkin' Truth, and we got down to some of the fundamentals of the Patriots' upcoming season, because, Andy, I'm not sure if you've heard, but it's football season and football is here. So we addressed three particular topics. He's very confident Mike Vrabel won. Number two, he really believes Drake May will take the next step this season because of Josh McDaniels. But the third one I thought was very, very interesting. I asked Mark Schlereth if he thought that Will Campbell could anchor the turnaround of the Patriots offensive line and if he was the answer. And we will have the audio to share on this very show very soon. But I wanted to let everybody know that I was then treated to a 10-minute football guy sermon on why short arms don't matter, why a strong base is the biggest thing. Everyone who thinks that arm length and little nuances that combine warriors talk about can tuck it and suck it. He said, you know what? If you wanted to build a team full of people that bench press 225 pounds and 40-yard dashes, you'd have a team of failures. Football is easy for football players. Football is hard for athletes. Pats Nation, one of the best offensive linemen of the last 25 years, wants you to know we got a keeper in Will Campbell. I'm on board. Let's go.
I think Ted has thoughts.
Ted, you want to share your thoughts?
I wanted to chum the waters for Ted. Come on. He probably crashed into Schlereth so many times.
So Schlereth, where's he live? Denver? He's seen this guy at all these practices. He's seen the one-on-ones.
Well, he does Fox now. So,
okay. You know. I just, you know, so just because Mark Schlereth says his arm length doesn't matter, we should just stop debating it.
That's it.
How's Will Campbell looked in training camp so far?
Up and down. Mediocre. He's had his pros and cons.
Well, mediocre connotates that it's he's doing an okay job. Like he's had highs and lows, but shouldn't.
Look, I think
I just want to ask: should rookies have highs and lows?
I think we should just because Mark Schlereth said he's going to be a great player, that we should all just say he's going to be. Look, I think it's too early to tell, but if a guy with his length of arms has never made a Pro Bowl, never made an All-Pro team, then it stands within reason to think that he might not work out at tackle.
Of course.
Because no tackle has ever had arms his short, his length, and made either the Pro Bowl or the All-Pro team.
Yes.
So you'd be the first to do it.
Well, they always have to have a first.
Sure.
He might be the Neil Armstrong of short arm left tackles.
So when you're debating it, you have to keep it in that frame of mind.
So I think, let me allow this then. Let me sort of reframe my three-point stance if I can vulture 20 seconds. It was assuring, or at least confidence building, to hear from a former offensive lineman that the tape that he's watching him play in person, that he believes that this guy has what it takes to succeed and not just be a flame out that either goes to guard or is a bust of a first round pick.
End what he thinks, or an outside linebacker. Guys,
because he talked about
linemen stick for linemen. Yep. Linebackers stick up for linebackers. So a lineman's not going to say anything bad about another lineman. Ask guys that go against short arm tackles and then get their perspective.
Is his whole Mark Schlereth's whole thing again? Can't wait to share the audio with you, but when his whole thing was bringing guys into him as opposed to trying to keep guys, maybe that's a technique thing, and he's that kind of player coming from the Alex Gibbs Shanahan offense, you know. Maybe that thing. It's just, Andy, would you be not excited, but do you at least sort of like put a little something, some stock in hearing from a former offensive lineman? Hey, I'm not worried about little measurables or combine intrinsics. I want to see what his football acumen is, and I want to see what his, you know, the trunk, the base, the things that guys like that really care about.
Yeah, I mean, I take all the information. You know me. I try to take all the information, and then I poo-poo some of it if I feel
your initials are AH, but people call you AI for a reason.
Or I believe everything, and I question everything. You know, that's another way to say it. Like, does Mark Schlereth, does he have experience as an NFL offensive lineman? Sure. That's great. Does he bring that knowledge to his viewing of Will Campbell? I, like Ted, don't know how much Mark Schlereth has watched Will Campbell. Don't know how much he's seen from here. Is there a bias? Yes. I always assume. It's one of the problems I have that so many quarterbacks are color commentators, and the quarterback is so important. And I think a lot of quarterbacks kind of make excuses for quarterbacks when they're doing games. And it's like, okay, I mean, you're a quarterback, so I guess you're in the fraternity, and you want to make sure they always keep you in the fraternity or whatever.
Don't the good ones criticize?
I don't know how many quarterbacks you see are overly critical of the quarterback.
I think it's Troy Aikman doing. And
he's gotten old and whatever. So no, is it good for the argument of the pro Campbell side that if some lineman is like, yeah, he's good enough to do it? Okay, sure, that's fine. I do think Ted is right. You know, if Willie McGinnis came out and said, I think Will Campbell's awesome, and this is the reason why, and arm length is overrated. I always heard that, but I never bought it. I went up against this guy who had short arm, blah, blah, blah. There'd be value in that, too. There would be absolutely value in that, too. Mm-hmm. So the biggest answer to all of this is we're just going to have to wait and see.
I'd rather hear from Dietrich Wise, who wins him in one-on-ones than I would Mark Schlereth, to be perfectly honest with you. That's just my feeling on that.
But even there, I always think current NFL players aren't going to necessarily rip another player.
They don't.
You know, because half the coaches tell them, like, talk about yourself and nobody else. You let me talk about the other players or things of that nature. So, but this is going to be an ongoing debate. It's going to be an ongoing debate until the performance tells us and then where they play them.
We're going to know a whole lot more.
If they move them to guard in November, then
we're done
here.
Yeah. That's all,
we
folks.
We can all put it away and go home. But
don't you think we'll know so much more after September?
No, I will not be willing to.
I didn't say have enough information to render a verdict or make a final decision. Like, he's a bust, he's a stud, move him to guard, this guy's toast. But just watching the gauntlet of games he has to go through.
We'll have more
his first month is going to. Yes, his
we'll
first month is going to tell us a lot.
Yeah. I mean, some of it. I believe Max Crosby is actually a right side of offense guy.
No, he'll get more Malcolm Kuntz than he'll get.
Yeah,
don't be surprised if they move him around.
There's going to be information forthcoming, but we're a ways away from. You know, my classic example is always Devin McCourty, All Pro rookie cornerback, and I'm like, wow, this guy's going to be great, and he sucked the next year, and he had to get moved to safety by year three. Like, things.
Why
really,
did he fall off a cornerback cliff?
He sucked.
Well, there had to be a better reason than that.
I don't know if anybody knew the reason. It was like all of a sudden, Joe Flacco's picking on him. He's like, oh, McCourty's out here throwing deep to that side. And he just, year one, he looked fluid. He was on the guy's hip. He would put his hand up, and you're like, oh, my God, this guy's a blanket. He's going to be so good.
Thank God we didn't get Dez Bryant. And then next thing you know.
It was nuts. But that is a, you know, cautionary tale that September, you need more information. 1 year in, you still need more information. Yes, we will be talking about Will Campbell for a while.
That would certainly be the case. And if you missed it, Will Campbell, good, according to Mark Schlereth. Devin McCourty sucks, according to Andy Hart.
Can I read one text real quick that I think Ted will react to interestingly?
Go right ahead.
The top text, Ted, right now on the text line, 781 says, have you guys ever heard of Bruce Armstrong?
Yes.
I feel like you've probably heard of him. Have you seen him? Have you showered with him? Like, I mean, I feel like you know who Bruce Armstrong is.
The hard-hitting question.
All those things. Country? Like,
yes. I don't really get the point of the question of the text. I just, when people throw stuff out.
That's all the question was?
Did he have short arms?
You ever heard of Bruce Armstrong?
Was that a notorious issue with him?
Bruce Armstrong does not have short arms.
And he was a good tackle.
I
have no idea. Okay. I just know I've definitely heard of him and seen him play, and Ted has shared a locker room and more with him.
Okay, let that one sit there.
I was going to say,
what are you suggesting? No, I'm not suggesting. I'm telling the world that you know who Bruce Armstrong is.
Yeah, I know.
You have knowledge of tackles that have played 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
I don't know anything about him outside of the realm of football, so I don't know where you're going with that. All right, I'm going to ask a question before I go, all right?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
All of you, did you have an issue with the trade deadline activity, or were you okay with it?
I didn't love it.
Okay, you didn't love it.
Issue,
and what about you, Dan?
Big issue, yeah, for sure.
So big issue. Yeah. Okay. All right, interesting. All right, I'm ready.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right, so last night you see Dustin May, who they picked up in a trade before the trade deadline, pitch. Six hits, a 3 ERA, only 3 2/3 innings. And then Jordan Hicks, another player that they traded for earlier in the season in the Rafael Devers trade. He goes out there, pitches one inning, gives up 3 hits, 3 earned runs. You know what? The people that, because the show poll, I believe, was very positive about the trade deadline. People did feel like didn't have that many issues with it. If you didn't have an issue with the trade deadline, I don't want to hear any complaining about how last night's game unfolded. I don't want to hear that you know they should have done more. No. You can't retroactively go back and now all of a sudden have an issue with the trade deadline. And this is what Lou Maloney pointed out to us. And this is what's going to be interesting is, after the way they lost last night's game, you just wonder, is this going to be there's going to be an unraveling? Is it a one-off? Are they going to get back? Because Lou did say, if they do start losing and start losing multiple games, they will start using the trade deadline as an excuse. They've won 6 out of their first 6 games that they played out of the trade deadline. They've lost their 7th one. I'm curious to see how they play from here on, and if they use the trade deadline. Do I start hearing people use the trade deadline as an excuse for why they are losing? That will be something to see. But it is interesting. The way they lost last night is specifically the position that the people were wanting them to get at the trade deadline that they were unable to get.
That's exactly – wow. I mean, I think we are actually in lockstep and unanimity on this one, because that's all I could think of last night listening to and watching the end of that game, Ted, was all the things that this team needed that dogged this team coming off of the win streak post-All-Star break, heading into the trade deadline, reared their ugly heads last night. Jordan Hicks couldn't find the strike zone last night with Waze, Google Maps, or a Sherpa. And then Dustin May was exactly what we thought he was going to be, a discarded starter from a competitor in the National League who's had 7 surgeries and has never lived up to his potential from his early baseball days. There was no power hitter to come in when Jaron Duran was finding gloves and Roman Anthony was hitting it to inadvertently the wrong part of the ballpark, even if it had good pop on it. Like, you needed a little jolt from someone else last night. It was nowhere to be found. And so, while I do not think that Captain Salmon Coat and the rest of the Red Sox organization signing Roman Anthony to the extension yesterday was a distraction or a bright, shiny object over here, I do believe that there's a chance that this is going to be a pain in their ass and a thorn in their side the remainder of the way, as good as they've played recently.
Well, you just hope that Jordan Hicks and Dustin May aren't two guys. I mean, I feel like both of those guys are here because it's almost like they had to get somebody back in the Rafi Dever. They really just wanted to unload Rafi and not have to pay him. But we got to get something back, right?
Yep.
So you get back Jordan Hicks, and you see how that's gone. You know, hey, Dustin May, he wasn't our first, second, third, fourth, or 10th choice.
Yep.
But at the end, when we ran out of time and we couldn't get a Joe Ryan deal done, we had to get somebody, and that's who they got. And both of them just, you know, pooped the bed last night.
And then they fly to San Diego, off day today, 9:40 tomorrow night. How are you feeling about Walker Buehler versus Skippy Pavetta out in San Diego? Walker Buehler has not been great for
this
team.
Let's go, Buehler.
But he's had a good July. He did have a good, better July than we anticipated.
Went from good to better very quickly and more accurately.
Better by his standards, good overall.
Do you feel great about him taking the mound?
I feel like Pivetta versus Bueller is a pretty fair draw.
Oh, I don't. I think it's an absolute blowout in the Padres' favor.
Wow.
I think Pivetta's had a great year.
No, this is good. Last time he said Criswell was going to crap the bed, look what happened.
I just remember the beginning stages.
Oh, I was dead wrong on that.
Pivetta.
Yeah. Mr. Ball.
We live in the same building. Interesting guy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Pivetta? You lived with Pivetta?
You'd have more fun hanging out with that chair sitting next to you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe the nickname was ironic.
Where did Skippy come from?
Was it ironic?
I have no idea.
So he's not like skipping around, lots of energy?
No. Not definitely the opposite.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Boo.
Do you like that chair right there? I'm indifferent to it.
I mean, it does the job if I sit on it.
You talk about paranoid, that guy. Oof,
yeah.
Paranoid. Well, I didn't like him. Remember when he went, was that 2 years ago now? 3 years ago? He went to the bullpen in the middle of the season and he flipped out.
He's a little high strung.
Yeah,
he was really angry.
He yells a lot. Coming off the mound, remember, he would yell a lot of histrionics.
Yeah.
But he's the better pitcher tomorrow.
But an athlete, yeah.
It is interesting that the Red Sox had to go against an old pal last night, and Waka, who had been dialed in his previous start, got the best of him. Will this be like will Skippy be so high strung and wound up tomorrow night, Ted, that he overpitches and the Red Sox take advantage of it? Or does he end up having the start of a lifetime, leaving us to say, hey, how come we couldn't get guys like that at the deadline?
Or does it all just work out in this weird thing where Bueller stinks, Jaron Duran strikes out 4 times, should have traded him to the Padres, Xander Bogaerts hits a 3-run home run, and Pivetta pitches 8 scoreless, and you're like,
I said I would
I
like
really
to sleep this weekend.
617-779-7937. You can react to our 3-point stances. That was a volatile one.
Zesty.
Yeah, a little Will Campbell. I feel like this is going to be an ongoing issue that we deal with, and the man up next may have an opinion on it. Tom E. Curran will join us here in his normal Thursday 3:30 slot on WEEI Afternoons. We'll ask him about the camp so far for Will Campbell and what he thinks about this ongoing debate about the offensive line. Tom E. Curran here with WEEI Afternoons up next. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?